I bring to your attention this morning a couple of important points. First of all, that we will have the beginning of the novitiate on Tuesday. On Tuesday of this week, the Feast of St. Joseph, when Mr. Wade White will be taken into the novitiate of our monastery. Please pray for him, and please pray that he will always persevere in his holy vocation, his holy calling, and please pray for us all, sisters, brothers, and fathers, and that Almighty God will give us always the grace to be able to be pillars of strength for all who look to us for strength, that we in our weakness may give strength to others. The Mass of the novitiate will be at 8 o'clock on Tuesday for those who are able to attend. There will be two Masses on Tuesday, at 6 the usual, and at 8. Of Tuesday is the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker. St. Joseph has always been given the back seat of everything. And yet it is St. Joseph who has always been the protector of everything that is important. And the first and very great example of this is when St. Joseph, in the middle of the night, without warning, was ordered, quickly, fly into Egypt. And he did so. That he was an old man, that remains to be seen. But that he was faced with an enormous project in taking his family safely, in taking the Incarnate Word safely, in taking the mother of the Incarnate Word safely across great expanses of land into the place of safety, that is something to be attended to in our thoughts. He didn't travel just across the county line, or the state line, or the country line. This man, on foot, slowly, traveled hundreds of miles, a staggering project, a staggering responsibility. Yet he did it without a word, without any complaint, without any grumble. He did it. And he should be for us in everything we do, in all of us who are faced with daily projects of having to go to work. Every one of us has to get up in the morning, and every one of us has to go to work during that day. And every one of us, as we are going to the work market, every one of us is faced with a strong desire and a strong hope of not having to have to go to work that day, of not having to put up with all of the things that the work marketplace has to present to us on that day. And every one of us feels poorly that we have to attend to this, and to have to attend to the grumblings and the complaints of those with whom we come into contact. St. Joseph is the one that we must go to and ask for help. St. Joseph it is that will get for us the serenity and the calm and the peace and the patience and the understanding and the compassion and all the rest that we need to make the work of that day fruitful. There are those who complain, perhaps, because this feast exists on this particular day as it has been set, but it is a proper day, actually, because it is a day that we acknowledge that we're all workers. And you must recall, too, that the church throughout the ages has taken occasions, days, for example, Christmas itself, and others as well, and how it has taken an occasion that was probably not of any meritorious significance and placed right on top of it a very meritorious occasion. In the most pagan feast of the year, the church took the baby Jesus and put it right on top of it and turned it into the most glorious occasion of the year for all of us. And so it is here that we take Saint Joseph and had placed him over those of us, all of us, and every one of us is a worker, or should be, and that we can look upon work as an honorable occasion, an honorable thing to do, a beautiful thing to do, that we provide for the needs of our family, and that we, by the labor of our own hands, are able to exist, and that we use our work and that which our work produces according to the way that the Creator intended, and not look upon our work as something that is productive of the materials of this world, but look at our work as something that will gather up the fragments of the pebbles of the earth to grant unto us the wealth of the earth. We must not be interested in that. Our work must be that which should be for the fulfillment of our needs and for the fulfillment of our purpose here on earth, namely our sanctity. Beginning for the next few weeks, of course next Sunday we're going to go back and take another look at Nazareth. That's where really everything begins. And until we do come to a proper understanding of Nazareth, all these other things, and work included, and maybe even very importantly, all things will be understood only after we walk to the threshold of Nazareth. And after that, after we step into the threshold of Nazareth a little more, then we're going to spend some time in bringing to our attention in our bulletins of what sanctity consists of. Too many of us have a very mistaken idea of sanctity. Too many of us have a very mistaken idea of what we must do, what we must be in order to become saints. And we can find ourselves doing some things that are certainly not in accord with what sanctity is supposed to be. We find ourselves imitating other saints in the way they became saints. God does not want me to be a carbon copy of somebody else. God wants me to be me. And He wants me to use the particular set of weaknesses that I have to contend with. The weaknesses that were implanted in me as an individual. And it is those weaknesses that I have to overcome. Each one of us has his own or her own set of weaknesses. And you cannot use the pattern as such that applies to me or to saint somebody else in order to overcome your weaknesses. Each one has to turn his own weaknesses into his own glorification. And this is what we have to learn. And we're going to talk about that in the next few weeks. We are all sinners. And we were all called to sanctity. We were all called to perfection. Some of us do not understand what perfection means. And we turned it into a mechanical thing. And we turned it into something, and we turned sanctity rather into something that the longer it takes us to do whatever it is we have to do, the longer we spend on our knees in prayer, the longer the devotion lasts, the holier it actually is. That is not so. That is not so at all. And it's a very mistaken idea. And that's why some of us find, and all of us for that matter, find sanctity to be something that is unachievable. Because in due time, the time that we spend, the extraordinary time that we spend in moments of prayer becomes burdensome. We're beginning the month of May, which is the month of the Blessed Mother. We will have May crowning, of course, on Mother's Day. And there we go, not to the untouchable queen that we, in most cases, prefer to think about. Of course she's the queen. Nobody can deny that. Nobody should deny that. Nobody will deny that. But a queen is someone who has power. And someone that I am forced to approach slowly and with trepidation. The Blessed Mother actually is more than a queen. No less power does she have because she is more than a queen. The Blessed Mother is more importantly and more important than all of her queenship, actually. The Blessed Mother is my mother. And I can run to the Blessed Mother when I'm afraid. When I see the wolf coming that we were speaking of a moment ago in the Gospel, when others contradict me, when others persecute me, when others hurt me, when others make me bleed, I can go to her, and even my blood stains on her clothing make no difference to her. I can't do that to the queen. I can only look at the queen from a distance. But my Blessed Mother, I can throw my arms around, and she throws her arms around me. And she gives me that strength to be able to go a little further. And as she and her husband Joseph work together, if I am in their custody, if I am in their care, I have nothing to fear. And all of my fears can be put aside and all of my apprehensions can be put aside because I know they are there. The Blessed Mother is more than a queen because she is my mother and she is your mother. And we have to go to her even more than we have gone to her in the past. She longs to be treated as a mother. In recent days, or recent years, recent times, we're making of her something that appears in the distance, in the skies, in the clouds. She's always appearing someplace. Well, maybe yes, maybe no. We don't know that. In any event, if it happens for truth that she does appear here, there, and everywhere, it is at a distance that I must speak to her. We must come to the conclusion that we do not speak to her from a distance, that we speak to her from the closeness of her heart, with her arms around us, not her queenly cloak, but her arms. And we can hear the workings of her heart in our ears, as she hears the workings of our heart, our hearts in her ears. That's Mary. Nothing more and nothing less. You see, we speak so much of the Catholic experience. The Catholic experience is simple. It isn't sophisticated. It's little children who are in trouble running to their mothers and fathers to seek help. And all of the other fal de ral that we have come to take upon ourselves as being, that's Catholicity. All the fal de ral, the pretty, the theatrics, the expense that is thrown around, that's not Catholicity in itself. Catholicity in itself is that which will permit me, a sinner, to walk to the presence of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, to our Blessed Mother, to Saint Joseph, to any of the saints. We have a flock of saints in this house. They're all over the place. Look at all the relics that we have been blessed with. These relics are of those who were no more nor less than you or I. Yet there was something in these individuals that made them worthy to be in the house of God. And it is their simplicity of life, not complicated, educated, high-class ways of living. Most of them were very, very simple folk. And it is in their simplicity that their beauty shone forth to their Creator. This is where we have to walk in the simplicity of our religion. And that makes us go to our workplace in the morning, tomorrow morning. It makes us get up and do the work of our house, the cleaning and the washing and the cooking and the scrubbing. That's the Joseph, and that's the Mary that we have to come to know. And until we come to know that Joseph and that Mary, we're going to go through life artificially, We're going to go through life burdened. We're going to go through life unhappy, unjoyful, looking always for something bigger and better, and never finding it. And we go to bed at night frustrated because we have not achieved that which we have been seeking. And what is that achievement? Because we have failed to understand the importance of what we need to achieve, namely the thing that belongs to a life that is not the present life, we have found ourselves almost unanimously, in one way, shape, form, or another, where do we seek our achievement? Our achievement is in the number of pebbles that we have been able to gather up this day. And according to the number of pebbles that we have picked up for this day, does our false satisfaction rest. Mary and Joseph are where we can find what we're looking for. In the poverty, in the peace, in the hard work, in the prayer life that we need, there's where we must go. That's what will give us understanding. That's where we will find achievement. And at night, the achievement is not so much, again, in the quantity of religious things that we have done that day, because they too can become like the pebbles of the earth. But in the knowledge, the quiet, unassuming, simple, serene knowledge that somehow I know that Mary and Joseph are looking at me.